I'm not ashamed to preach to people about Jesus and who He is. I'm not ashamed at Thanksgiving to pray over our food and thank Jesus. Amen? I'm not ashamed to say over dinner that no deadly thing will harm me and my family. Amen? And that includes the devil. And that includes all his little cohorts. Amen? And let me tell you, if the devil's in your family, you're the ones that need to speak to him. Amen? Amen. You need to say something. You need to be ministers. You need to begin to say to the devil and the world system what the word says. Amen? Amen. You need to begin to say that. Flip over to the title of our message today, if you would, please. Trent. Talking about heaven's invasion. You know, we need to begin to talk about heaven's invasion. We need to speak clearly to people. We need to know the word in such a measure that without a shadow of a doubt, they can look in your eyes and say, surely this man has been with God. You need to have a boldness on the inside of you from God that only comes by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen. Amen. You need to have that boldness and that sharpness in your eyes, or people will not believe your words. You cannot be ashamed of who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You must know the word in such a measure that your presence commands spirits to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. You should not be afraid in any situation. You should walk in by faith and by your words, amen, into the very blessing of God in every situation. You should know that if you're the only believer in the room, God has sent you. Amen. And you should know that people will not and cannot believe unless they hear. They have to hear. It's not going to come by osmosis. Come on now. It's not going to come because you pray, help them, Jesus, on the way. It's got to come by you saying something. And when you say what God says, you are going to confront darkness. In the beginning, light was and darkness fleed. That's the way God operates. You must understand this. You must understand that in the room of your house and your business, that there has to be an invasion from heaven. There has to be something from the heavenly realm enter into that atmosphere before people are going to believe. Amen? You have to learn to speak what the Spirit says to you. Amen? He's not in the earthquake. He's not in a strong wind. Amen? He's not in the fire. He's in the still small voice. Amen? Go to Matthew chapter 6 and let's just begin there. We have a few minutes. Can you guys hang with me for a few minutes? We're going to teach. We're going to teach precept upon precept for a few minutes. And if we get excited, praise God. Hallelujah for that. If I start preaching, just give me some amens. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We need a double portion, then you need to get the CD. Amen. As a matter of fact, we'll make the CD available for whosoever will. Amen. It's our desire. We have a website. It's our desire that one of you enter into the ministry in such a way that every message that is ministered from whoever is ministering behind the pulpit, that it get posted on our website. That way, everybody at any given time, you can preach to them and then take them to a computer and download it or just have them watch, amen, and listen to what's being said. Well, where you go to church? Let me tell you. Go over here, send them an email, and give them the message. Amen. Because they're not going to know. Some people are going to say, well, that's a controversial message. You're right, it is controversial. very controversial. And it's going to cause people to step back and think, hey, something's different about this church. They need to think that. They need to sense there's something different about you.
Amen.
Amen? Because unless there's something different about you, they're not going to follow you.
That's it.
And that's the only way the church grows is they follow you. Amen?
Amen.
They follow you where? Where are they going to follow me? Are they going to follow me home? Well, that'd be okay. Amen? No, they should follow you Sunday morning. When you call them Sunday morning, they should automatically say, hey, he's calling me to go to church. Amen. They should know, and then they should be ready. Amen. How's that? Because you called them Saturday night and said, be ready at 9:30. I'm coming by to get you. Amen. We need to get another bus just for Jay and Jessica. Amen. They got a car ministry. If they had a rack on the top of that car, they'd be carrying people on top of that car. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to do that. You need to call people. I mean, they're bringing people from way over on Camp Robinson, amen, into the church. And that's what we ought to be doing. You ought to be saying, you don't take no for an answer.
Yeah.
Well, do you believe what the Word says? Do you believe that you're children of God? Do you believe you're sons and daughters of God? Amen? Well, of course. Matthew chapter 6. And look at verse 10. Jesus said something very profound here. We must again look in. We must get into the details again of this first Sermon on the Mount. And we must realize that Jesus was ministering to His disciples in such a way that changed their lives forever. You must understand also that these 12 disciples changed the known world that we live in today. And when I say 12, I mean the 11 and the Apostle Paul. Amen. These men went throughout the area preaching the gospel in such a manner that it totally changed the known world. Paul started churches all over the entire known world. He stood before kings, Brother Gary, unashamed. He preached and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said that the words of the king would reign, that he would decree a thing and it would occur. He stood before kings and priests in his own religion. He stood before the known world at that time, and he was unashamed to speak the gospel of Christ. He told them that there was coming an invasion of sons of God. He equipped, he ministered in such a way that the demonstration of the Spirit followed everywhere he went. They desired to handle mere cloths that he had prayed over because the anointing was so strong in his life. He had a concept that many do not have in the church today, that it is not the earth's way, it is heaven's way that changes things. Amen. We don't need another religion or we don't need another fad. We need heaven to enter in and invade us. Amen. And Jesus, the very first sermon that he ministered here, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. I ain't singing no more unbelieving songs when we all get to heaven.
Amen.
It's not God.
Right.
I sang those long enough and I put off the ministry that God had called me from the foundation of the earth long enough. When the saints go marching in, the saints ought to be marching into Lone Oaks where they ought to be marching.
Come on, brother.
You ought to be marching into your households and your family's households unashamedly and look them in the eyes and tell them they're going to hell if they don't change their ways. Amen? But tell them there's a loving God and there's a demonstration of the Spirit that overrides and supersedes everything in the earth. Jesus said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So let's qualify what he's saying. The will of the Father is not for you to get saved and just go to heaven. That's religion. My Bible says salvation encompasses all of God's glory. You ought to be prospering. You ought to be healed. Amen. You ought to be happy. Amen. Everything that salvation brings is available to you right now. Not in the great by and by, in the ugly now and now. Come on now. We've got to get this notion that when we all get to heaven, you know, honey, everything's going to be better in heaven. If we can just make it a few more years, we're going to be all right. That's the devil in his deceitful ways putting off to another time what we should be demonstrating today. We can hoop and holler all day long and sing about when the saints go marching in, but the fact of the matter is the saints ought to be marching right now. And there is an army in the name of Jesus, the sons and daughters of God, that are rising up right now. They've seen this religion. They've seen this hooping and hollering. They've seen all the gospel movements. They've seen it all, and it's gone and went and done nothing. Why are the people still poor? Why are they still sick? Amen. Why are they still crying out for God? Because they're looking for God.
Amen.
They're not looking for another church sermon. They're looking for the sons and daughters of God. Hey, we don't need more preachers. We need the saints of God to begin to stand up.
Amen.
In the last days, it's the church, not the preacher. It's the church that will begin to rise up and demonstrate.
Right.
Amen? It's the church that will go into the cities and begin to demand and command and specify a decree because they're kings and priests. Amen? So it's important to understand here, Jesus said, "Thy kingdom come." We ain't going to him. Yeah, we are one day, but you know what? It'll be short-lived. Everybody say short-lived.
Short-lived.
Because you may spend some time up there, then you're coming back to rule and reign, is what my Bible says.
That's it.
I mean, just get used to this place. We're going to be here for a while. Come on now. We ought to be singing those songs, "When the Kingdom Comes." Not when we all get to heaven. Because in the end, the city Jerusalem will come into the earth. It's all coming to the earth. Do you understand? It's all coming to the earth. The whole purpose is that heaven comes to the earth. Not that we go to heaven. See, that in our minds, that puts all of our ability in God off to another place. It relieves us of any responsibility. It makes it easy on us when we all get to heaven, things will be better. Well, you know the streets are paved with gold. No, the streets in Lone Oak ought to be paved with gold because that's the God's will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is just a copy of the earth. The earth is just a copy of heaven. And we should be bringing that system into this place. Amen? So we need to get our facts straight. Now go to verse 19 there. Again, he teaches and he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Do not get entrenched in the earth's system." That's what he's saying. Don't get entrenched in the way the world works. Because I'm going to tell you what, it's failing as fast as possible right now. Let me tell you something. $12 trillion in debt and they're fixing to spend more debt. It's eventually going to break the banks. There's rumors now in Europe that the financial system is on the edge of worldwide collapse. Because it cannot take the debt, the money that we keep spending on people that do not know how to live by faith. Now come on now. Now there's people that need assistance, but they shouldn't be running to the government. The government is not God. They ought to be running to the church.
Yes.
We ought to have the money that the U.S. Treasury has to meet the needs of the people. They ought to be coming to the local leaders of the church instead of the local congressmen. We've got all this backwards, see? It says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves" what? "Treasures in" where? "Heaven, where neither moth or rust do corrupt. Thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is," where your thought process is, that's where your heart's going to be. If you're interested in heaven's means and methods of operating, and you are forfeit, or you're for that system, bringing it into the earth, then the earth around you will begin to change. It'll be just like planting a garden out back. You'll see it transform. Amen. Actually, I was Adam yesterday. I was taking care of the earth, the garden of the earth. Miss Tiffany started trimming all of our bushes. And she said, "You're going to have to finish it because you're taller than I am." So I got out there and I started shaping the earth. Can you imagine? I started pulling weeds and shaping the earth. And I'm not real good at yard work. But let me tell you something. It looks like heaven there now. It was looking kind of like the earth. Our neighbors were probably thinking, "Where are they from?" Amen. It was looking ugly, but now it's beginning to look like heaven. Why? Because we changed it. The same way in changing this city or this county. You're going to have to command this place to change. You're going to have to preach. If you're called to preach, you're going to have to preach every day. Not one day. Every day. You're going to have to sing every day. Not one day, every day. Amen? So it says here, it's very interesting. The reason he said focus on heaven, look at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. So whatever your eye is on, if therefore your eye be what? Single, the whole body shall be what? Full of light. Whatever you're focusing on, when you get the right message in the right time, and you begin to demonstrate that. What is the message? Jesus told us what the message was. Heaven in the earth. Bring heaven into the earth. Bring heaven. You ain't going to... Yeah, you'll go to heaven if Jesus tarries. But let me tell you something. If he doesn't, you're going to stay right here. Amen? Someone said... someone got saved and someone asked him, "What'd you get saved from?" And they said, "Well, you know, I don't know. What did I get saved from? I got saved and now I'm going to heaven." Really? No, you got saved from this world system because you accepted Jesus and the demonstration of who he is in your heart. And that demonstration and that lifestyle will deliver you from anything that this planet can throw against you. When you see Jesus in those four Gospels and you see Jesus in such a way that you've never seen him before, you will learn how to overcome. You will learn how to become saved. Amen? When Jesus laid hands on the blind eyes and they opened, that person was saved from what? Darkness. When God spoke light right into darkness, the light did what? Caused the darkness to leave. This is a lifestyle. It's not putting off to another place. Amen? There's two ways of thinking. Heaven's way and the world's way. There's no in between. Amen? Heaven is an unseen place manifested by the word in your heart. No word in your heart, no heaven on the earth. See, I think it's interesting that we look at Romans 10. I said to Miss Tiffany, I said, "You know, I've almost gotten to the point where I've memorized Romans 10. She said, "Well, Lord have mercy. The Baptists will love you for that." Amen. But what does it say in there? It says that Paul had a desire for Israel. He had a heart for Israel. And they had a zeal for God. There's a lot of church people that have a zeal for God. But Paul said, it's not according to knowledge. They had a zeal for God, but they didn't understand God. So they took God and put him in a box and put a bunch of rules and regulations around and created religion. But God was never designed to be in a box. God was designed to conquer what the devil had stolen. Amen? He said they have a desire for God, but not according to knowledge. For they seek their own righteousness. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. Come on, listen to me. The righteousness which is of faith speaks. It does not say, let's go up to heaven and bring Jesus from heaven down to our situation so he can pray for Aunt Joanne. It does not say, if Jesus was here, my bank account would be okay. It does not say, let's go over and get Jesus from the bottom of the sea and pull him up so Jesus can take care of our situation. What does faith say? Faith says, now the word is in my mouth and in my heart. That's the word that I what? Preach. It's that word that I preach. The word of what? Faith. See, Paul tried to show us, don't think that somebody else is going to solve your problems. They're not. Your family's not going to get saved until you say something to them. Because it goes on to say that whosoever will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and we saw His glory manifested in the person of Jesus. Come on, are you with me? When you begin to say the Word in such a manner, you begin to demonstrate His presence, you shall be saved. A lot of people say, well, here's what they do, is I'm going to ask Jesus into my heart and hope that one day I go to heaven. Hope is good, but it doesn't generate faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And the Bible says, Paul told us very clearly here, that you're going to have to say something if you're going to overcome in this world. You got to be bold as a lion. You got to learn how to say something out of your mouth. And then it goes on to say, how are they going to know? How are they going to believe unless they've heard? Who are they going to believe on unless they've heard? Amen? The demonstration of the sons of God understand this principle. And there's a wave right now coming through the earth that are people that are beginning to stand up and say, and let me tell you something, you're going to have opposition. There are going to be people that are going to oppose you. The devil is not going to just let go of what he has. You remember he took Jesus to a high place and he said, all the kings and kingdoms of the earth, you see all these? You bow down and worship me and I'll give them all to you. What did he say? He said, the word says you should worship only the Lord. He took him right back to the word and he said right to the devil. He commanded the devil through the words. Amen? He directed his entire life by words. Amen? Heaven is an unseen place manifested by the word in your heart. No heaven, no word, no heaven. Heaven is demonstrated by sons of God. Everybody say that. Heaven is demonstrated by sons of God. See, now people are ashamed to associate themselves with God, especially a son of God or a daughter of God. They struggle with this thing that they are like God. Why? Because they've been in the world so long. But my Bible says in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, that He created man in the very likeness and image of Himself. Amen? And He gave man dominion, the power of words, dominion over the earth. Amen? And through those words, He demonstrates sonship and ownership over the planet. We own this county. You may not realize it yet, but this church owns this county. Amen. We own this city. They may not realize it yet. And let me tell you, they're not going to come without kicking and screaming. Amen? Kind of like that teenager, amen. You want to get up and go to church. I ain't going to church. Well, somebody speaks to me like that, I'm going to speak back.
That's it.
Chase, you don't want to go to school? No, I don't want to go to school. I'm going to speak back and I might have a demonstration. Amen? Oh, a demonstration of what? Who's the son? Amen? Who's the Son of God? Come on. You must understand this. People, they don't realize that. You know, we have been trained by government and by the world system just to be tolerant of everyone. And I assure you that people are not tolerant of Jesus, so they're not going to be tolerant of you. And Jesus was not tolerant of the devil. Jesus did not reside with the devil. He commanded the devil. But in today's society, we're taught to be tolerant of everyone. Amen? Jesus preached on heaven and they thought he was crazy. Go to Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 14. We'll just lay this foundation and then we'll finish it up in the coming weeks. Go to Mark chapter 1. Now you must understand that if Jesus is your Lord, how he was perceived. He preached on heaven, and most people in the beginning of his ministry thought he had lost his mind. So don't be deceived when you begin to demonstrate sonship that people are going to look at you funny. You've got to be solidified and stabilized in the Word. Now, if not, you'll go horizontal like the world. Amen? That's what many people, I believe, and we had this opportunity too. When we got born again and we started our ministry, we had people come to us, hey man, we want to help you. We want to help with the ministry and we want to grow the ministry. But that word you're preaching about sonship, that's bothering people. Why? Because it's exposing who we really are and who the world really is. Amen? They said, oh, we'll financially support you if you'll just change. Let's be one of those seeker-friendly churches. Let's just be nice to everybody and buy Krispy Kreme donuts. Amen? Come on now. We'll provide Starbucks and Krispy Kreme donuts and we'll have us a hoop and holler in time. Amen? And every one of us have to face that. You either have to be like Jesus or you will go horizontal. God don't want you to go horizontal. God wants you to go ahead. God's trying to bring heaven into the earth and he's going to need some generals that'll take some territory. Amen? Now look at what was said here in Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 14. Jesus, he began to preach some crazy stuff. It says, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Did you notice he preached the message of the kingdom? What's the message? Sonship. Sonship. He said, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. He preached a message of repentance. Now, most people, when they hear repentance, they think, well, I need to repent of my sins. I need to come down front. You know, in the old Baptist church I got saved in, they had these benches, mourner benches. Isn't that what they called them, mourner benches? I got saved on one. And I mourned for 2 years after that because I didn't know anything. I didn't know what was in the Word. Every service I'd come up because I didn't know anything, so I'd go out in the world and sin, and then I'd come back in church and the presence of God would show up and I'd go mourn for all my sins. Why? Because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know I was the righteousness of God in Christ. I didn't know my sins were erased. I didn't know that they were put into the sea of forgetfulness. It was an awful, controlling situation. The preacher would preach, you sinner. You sinner. And man, I was a sinner. I mean, even though I was saved, I didn't know that I was the righteousness of God. So I'd come in, and when he said, sinner, I mean, I'd run down and start crying. And I'd mourn on the mourner. I mean, I wore the paint off those benches. Finally, I heard the message that you ain't got to sin no more. You don't have to enter into that life. So Jesus preached this message, repent. Now let's study that word for a minute, repent. It means to return. Remember turn, T-U-R-N, turn. That's a word, isn't it? Turn, right? Come on, y'all with me? Turn. Return is what? Go back to where you were. Isn't that right? Reproach. Amen? Repent. Okay, so if repent is used correctly, then we're returning to something. Pent. What's pent? The penthouse. How about that? Why don't you return to the pinnacle of life? Why don't you return back to what you were called to be from the foundation of the earth? When Jesus said repent, He was calling you to be sons and daughters because you've been called from the foundation of the earth to rule and reign with Jesus. Amen? Let's look at another scripture. Mark chapter 3. Look at verse 20. So He came on the scene preaching this repent message. Now, Thursday, while everybody's sitting around eating cranberry sauce and turkey, amen, if you start preaching repent, you better be able to explain to them what that means. Are they going to think you're just some crazy, wild preacher? They're going to think that you know about their sins, amen. You don't need to know about their sins. You just need to show them who they are in Christ Jesus. You need to tell them you need to quit living the way you're living and return to sonship. Amen? You need to tell them that God loves them enough to pull them out of where they're at. Look at Mark 3 and look at verse 20. Verse 21 says this, "And the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when His friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on Him, for they said," what? "He's beside Himself." Now, does anyone have the Amplified Bible? Anyone? Yeah, look that up for me, Miss Tiffany. So He was preaching this message, repent, return to sonship. The crowds came. His immediate family heard Him saying, "You need to return to who you are." And they thought, "We're sons of God? He's lost His mind." Come on now, let's just listen to this. Let's dissect this for a minute. Your family, because you're going to face the same thing. You are preaching to your family that you are a son and daughter of God. They're of the world. They're looking at you going, "My Lord, He's lost His mind. He thinks He's God." I didn't say God. I said Son of God. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 3 in the Amplified. It says, "Then He went to a house," probably Peter's. "There's a huge crowd that came together so that Jesus and His disciples could not even take food. And when those who belonged to Him, His kinsmen, His family," now we're all going to see family this week, amen, "heard it," heard what? Heard the message He was preaching about sonship, sons and daughters of God. "They went out to take Him by force, for they kept saying, 'He's out of His mind. He's lost His mind. He's deranged.'" And let me tell you something. This ain't the first time people have thought, "I've lost my mind." I did. I lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. That's right. Now go over to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which also was" what? "In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be" what? "Equal with God." Jesus was not concerned. He said, "Although I'm in the form of God, I don't think it's a problem being equal with God." And boy, that stirred him up there. That really stirred up, especially all the religious people. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the" what? "Likeness of men." He was a son of God, but He took on flesh and dwelt in the earth. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word did" what? "It became flesh and it dwelt among us." The same Jesus that was in Jesus' body is the same Spirit that resides in you today. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same person that is in you today. The same Spirit that caused Jesus to say that God and I are one is the same Spirit that's in you today. Now let's just close and let's go over there to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And look at verse 30. John chapter 10, look at verse 30. Jesus stood up in the midst of the people of the church and the surrounding towns. And he said, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Now, let's just think about that just for a minute. I and my Father are one. So if you and the Father are one, then God is in the room right now. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Come on, are you with me? You got to begin to understand what kingdom Jesus wanted to come to the earth. What kingdom was Jesus preaching? The kingdom he was preaching is, I and the Father are one. Well, if you and the Father are one, then God is in the room right now. Isn't that right? Is God in you now? Yeah, if God's in you, then God's in the room. Isn't that right? So Thursday afternoon, God's going to be in the room. Amen? Now, you may feed your body, but you're not your body. You're the man inside the body. Your body may perish one day, but you shall never perish. As a matter of fact, you're in eternity right now.
Yes.
You're not waiting to go to heaven, honey. You're in eternity right now. The question is, are you going to live in heaven's realm? Or are you going to live in hell's realm?
Okay.
See, that's the question. Are you going to live as if heaven is in the earth today? Are you going to live under the power of hell? Are you following me? See, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Now watch the reaction of the people. Watch this. Look at verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. He said, what? He and God are one? Get a stone. Somebody find a stone. He's lost his mind. Can you imagine what his family was thinking? See, I knew I was born again when I got born again because my family thought I'd lost my mind. They thought that something bad has happened to him. The problem was they couldn't do nothing about it because I kept prospering. I kept making more money. I kept increasing, amen. There was a demonstration of God to come along with it. Now, I didn't join some goofy cult and get broke and hide in some closet somewhere waiting for somebody to come in and get me. Are you following me? Come on now. No, I began to demonstrate sonship. Even when I didn't even know what sonship was, there was something on the inside of me that wanted everybody else to get saved. And all I knew was your sins can be as far as the east is from the west. And that's all I preached. And they thought I lost my mind because I told them, so you ain't going to live with that trash. Had somebody come. And I was supposed to be in the ministry, but I've been married 5 times. I don't care how many times you've been married. You made 5 foolish mistakes. Get saved. Oh, but you don't. Yeah, but what will they say? Who cares what they say? See, you lose all that. Watch. It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered and he said, now many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works are you going to stone me? Now watch this. The Jews said, not because of what you're doing. Now, let me tell you something. This is the last stronghold. We've been teaching faith for 40 years strong now. You're fixing to see a manifestation of it. See, we've seen a manifestation of the healing movement. We've seen a manifestation of the teaching movement. And we've seen the manifestation of prosperity coming to the saints. And when the prosperity begins to move over into the hands of God's kids, amen, then you're going to see sons start rising up. Amen? Now here they said, not because of your works, Jesus, are we going to stone you.
Uh-huh.
Not because of you healed people. not because you pray, not because of all those things. We are going to stone you because you claim to be God. And he didn't say God, he said Son of God. He not only said that I am the Son of God, but he said I am the Son of Man. And man is God's creation. Man didn't evolve. No, God created man. Now watch this. This is very interesting. The Jews answered him and said, not for a good work will we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man... See, they had their mind in the natural. He had his mind in the supernatural. Folks, let me tell you something. What's going to happen to you in 55 years? What's going to happen to you 150 years? Where are you going to be in 150 years? Well, I can't even think that far. Well, you're going to exist. Did you know that? You're still going to be around. Yeah, but I'm just trying to get through next week. Well, if you think about next year, next week, come by just like that. Come on now. Now watch this. He said, they answered him, said, for good work we stoned you not, but for blasphemy, because you being a man make yourself what? God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you're gods? Have I not said that you are gods, you are sons of God? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent in the world, thou blasphemest because I am the Son of God? He didn't say he was God. He said, I am the Son of God. My Bible says he was the first begotten of many brethren. Let's go over and look at that. He's the first begotten. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, Hebrews 2 and 10, whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing what? Many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect. He's the first begotten of many sons. Amen? He's the first begotten. Well, if he's begotten, then I'm begotten. If he's a son, I'm a son. Amen? Now, if we could just go 5 more minutes, let's lay this foundation just a little bit further here. Amen? Go over to Psalms 82. And let's see what Jesus was quoting. Go back to Psalms 82. And again, let's see this one more time. Psalms 82. Because Jesus did not say his words. Everything he said was in the Word. He didn't make up anything. He preached right out of the Old Testament. And that's why it said in the Bible that how are they going to know without a preacher? Have not all the world heard these words? Yes, they've heard these words. Look at Psalms 82. And we'll start in verse 1 there. Psalms 82 and look at verse 1. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the what? Gods. Isn't that interesting? He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. It is the job of the local church to speak to the local town to bind principalities, powers, and darkness that keep people in poverty, like Lone Oak. There are people that live in poverty right now in this town. They can't even pay their own bills. They don't even know what they're going to do next week. And they'll live like that until somebody says something to them. How are they going to believe on whom they have not heard? How are they going to hear without a preacher? You must say something. I had somebody say to me, well, you know, the so-and-so was saying that that church, that gateway, man, I mean, they're just preaching crazy stuff. I wish I was there. I was there at that time. I'd have gotten crazy preaching the word. I would have commanded the presence of the Holy Spirit in sonship and said something back to them. That's the only way. How are they going to believe unless somebody says something? The Bible says when a flood comes in, you've got to put up something to stop the flood. What is it? It's the word. You got to say something back. The last word stands. And Jesus said here, he said, the Holy Spirit in Psalms 82 says this. He says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk in darkness. People walk in darkness. They're in poverty. They're in sin. They're in poverty and they're in sin, and they think that the government is going to bail them out because the government is their God. But I assure you, the only thing that will cause people to overcome the circumstances of this word, of this world, is words. You must say to them, you must remind them of who they are. It's not until they see who they are and the authority of the believer that is within them that they will stand up. The government will lull them into a false sense of life, and they will die with only what they say they can have. And the world is ours. The world is yours. Amen? So it says here, it says, they know not. Who knows not? Lone Oak knows not. Neither will Lone Oak understand. Lone Oak walks in darkness. Look at what it says. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Why? Because gods are not standing up. Sons of gods are not standing up and ministering the word. It says, have I not said your gods? And all of you are children of the Most High. But many shall die like men and fall like princes. Arise, O God, and judge the earth. Thou shalt inherit all nations. The nations are yours. Brother Danny, the nations are yours. The nations are yours, Chris. Lone Oak is yours. Maumelle is yours. Your job is yours. All that you command is yours. It's been given. The day Jesus died, he paid for it. Uh-huh. It's been bought and paid for. Hazen is yours, Brother Al. It's yours. You have to act like it's yours. You have to command. Brother Gary, Lone Oak is yours.
Yes, sir.
And all the kids in Lone Oak, 147 seniors have no idea that they were designed as sons and daughters of God. They're yours. God has put them in your hands. 147 seniors. 4,735 people are in the city of Lone Oak and the surrounding areas. And they are yours, Brother David. But how will they believe in whom they have not heard? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Doesn't mean you have to enter in the ministry. How are they going to know unless we at Gateway say? When you pray, say. When you see them, say something to them. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we honor you. As the windows of heaven open, Lord, and your word reigns, let it reign into the hearts of us here today. Father, let eyes be open in a way they've never been opened before. Let the sons and the daughters see like they have never seen before who they are. Father, let your Spirit speak into the nations. The sons and daughters of God will begin to come out of darkness in such a way that Jesus, the Lord of eternity, would be demonstrated, glorified, and worshiped in such a manner that the walls of division would fall. The sick would be healed. And the poor would have the gospel preached to them. That our eyes would be open. The revelation of the ministry of Jesus and who He is. That from this place, the sounds of redemption would range from county to county. The souls of men would cry for the sonship of God. That your life would be changed in such a manner that every breath that you breathe, there's a desire crying in your heart for the souls of men. That every ground your foot lands on is claimed in the name of Jesus. Spirit of God would lead you and guide you in the manifestation of the man Jesus. Jesus. The man Jesus. Power His name. Father, I honor you today. We command the lost to be saved. We command the sick to be healed in Jesus' name. Come on, stretch your hands to heaven. Father, we receive the anointing. Father, let that blessing, let that anointing be in the church. How are they going to know without a preacher? How are they going to believe without hearing? Let the sons and daughters walk. Let them speak in such a manner, Lord, that lives will be changed. Come on, stand to your feet. Maybe you're here today. You never been saved. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. But there's a stirring in your heart. You've been to church your whole life. There's just something about this man, Jesus. Maybe you're called in ministry and you know that the demonstration of who He is on the horizon. Salvation is today. Today is the day of salvation for you. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that your sins are forgiven. They've been put in a sea of forgetfulness, that your life is as new today as it's ever been before. Your destiny is as bright as it's ever been. And your desire is as strong as it ever will be. For the man Jesus, the begotten Son, the firstborn among many brethren. Oh, we thank you, Father.